Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for everything today. Thank you for your mercy and your grace and for allowing us, Lord, to be together as your people today and for your holy presence and how you, Lord, are so good to us. And God, we acknowledge and we know that we don't deserve you. We really don't deserve you, but you love us anyways. Thank you, Lord, for reaching down and pulling me up out of that miry clay, out of that pit that I was in, God, and giving me a song in the night, giving me a new beginning, hallelujah, new life in you, God. And I have to give you the praise and thanks for that, Lord. I know that's not because I'm anything, but because you loved me anyways. And you must have saw something in us because you wouldn't redeem something that's worthless. So, Lord, thank you for your blood. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for what you've done on our behalf so that we could go free. And, you know, that's why Jesus came. He says, I came that you might have life. And life what? More abundantly, overflowing life. That is the life that we're supposed to be living in. Amen? We don't produce that life. He does. So we have to abide in him who produces life, who is life. But that life in us is Christ. And the overflow is supposed to be God. Amen? And in our lives. So David said, you anoint my head with oil, right? And my cup runs over. It overflows. So, you know, if people would just understand that what God wants is a relationship. We hear that, but he really wants a relationship with us to where we are just drawing near to him, because in that place, there's no fear, there's no worry, there's no anxiety, there's no depression. Amen. There's joy, fullness of joy in his presence. And at his right hand, there are what? Pleasures. God is pleasurable. God is joy. He is our exceeding joy. So God wants us to just receive what he has. And we receive by thanksgiving. It always begins with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving in all things, what? Give thanks. This is the will of God. And thanksgiving produces praise. And authentic praise invites the presence. Amen. He inhabits praise. And in the presence of the Lord, in his presence is what? Joy. And joy of the Lord is our strength. So it begins with thanksgiving and it ends with strength for our day. Amen. So be thankful in all things. Watch yourself very carefully. Don't get into ranting. Don't get into grumbling. Don't get into complaining. In all things, give thanks instead. Because, you know, flies are attracted to stinky things. Amen. Demons are attracted to stinky thinking and potty mouth, right? So we have to be very careful what we're thinking and what we're saying. Because it does produce either death or life, depending on how we want to order our conversation. So let's get into agreement with what is true. And last week we talked about how we are to exalt the Lord, how we are to magnify the Lord. Amen. And that means to make big and to exalt his name together. That means to make big and lift up the name of the Lord. Okay. Now, we know that he is high and lifted up, that he is exalted. Amen. He is God of gods. He is King of kings, right? He is high and lifted up. But in our minds, in our imaginations, a lot of times we're down in the chicken yard with our thoughts. So we've got to get our minds off that. Amen. Off the stuff and off the temporal and off the things we see. And we got to get our minds on the unseen. We got to get our minds on the eternal. We need to set our affections on things above, where Christ is. And so when we magnify and exalt the Lord, we're actually coming into alignment with what is true. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. What the devil does is he comes along and he tries to magnify evil and make it bigger, or try to make it appear to be bigger than the truth. But the voice of truth, like the song says, tells me what a different story. The voice of truth says, do not be afraid. Fear not, for I am with you. No matter what you're facing in life, in Isaiah 43 says, when you walk through the waters, what? I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Is it not true that we are in the palm of our Father's hand? That's what He said. So whether I feel it or not, it doesn't matter. I believe what He said. I put my hope, my trust, my confidence, my faith in God's Word. And I am free from the lies of the enemy. He wants to make Himself look big. It's no different than I said it last week, but North Korea, they're parading all their military. And you know, I heard some people were commenting on those missiles that they got on those launchers, that a lot of them are just dummy missiles. Well, what are they trying to do? They're trying to... The little man's trying to look big. Right? And so that's exactly what the devil does. He's not in the same weight class as Jesus. We got the Creator versus the creation. No comparison. But what he wants to do is make himself look good, exalt himself, set himself up as being equal or greater than God. He said, I will exalt my throne above what? The throne of God. But if we believe, if we live by sight, by the way things appear, sometimes we're duped by that. I've been duped by that. I've lived by sight before, have you? I know some of you never have, but I have. We do. Sometimes we look at the situation and it's saying big, impossible, too much. People look at their addictions and the devil comes and says big, impossible, too much. And he magnifies that which really is not, as though it were. And he says, too big for God, and certainly too big for you. Well, guess what? The devil is too big for us. He is. But he's not too big for our God. And if the Lord is in us, how's it go? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So my confidence is not in my ability to overcome sin, but God's ability in me to keep me free, because he's already set me free. Actually, sin no longer is my master. It no longer has that dominion over me. Unless I believe it does. If I believe sin has dominion over me, then I will serve it. If I believe that that problem or that hang up or that habit or whatever it is too big for God, then it will be, because my faith is not in God, but in that lie. So he's like a spoiled kid that wants to get attention. I may have never seen the spoiled kid. Of course, you've never been one yourself, right? But you've seen or had one. But you've seen kids in the market that they don't get what they want, so they're going to put on a big show. They're going to make all kinds of noise. And if that parent doesn't understand their authority over that child, you've got a problem. Because that child will realize that you don't know who you are. And they will end up controlling you and manipulating you. But if you know that, wait a minute, I'm the adult here, and I'm the authority, you're not. And when I tell you to go, you go. When I tell you to come, you come. When I tell you to be quiet, well, you better be quiet, because if not, I'm going to have to take the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. And we'll establish some boundaries here to protect you from hurting yourself. Because if you don't do it when they're young, the jails will be filled, amen, when they're older. So we've got to love people enough to tell them the truth. Our Father in heaven loves us enough to tell us the truth. Lord, I just ask you to keep me close to your heart. And that I'm hearing your voice, Lord, and I'm obeying you and I'm following your lead here, Holy Spirit. And that I don't go beyond what you want to say, Lord. And I don't fall short of that either. So help me now in Jesus' name. The title of today's message is Overcoming the Familiar. And actually, I was looking at a scripture several months back. And you know, sometimes you get into scripture, it catches your attention. And you've looked at it, you've studied it, and you haven't been able to quite grasp it or figure out what it's really referring to. And it's because it's not the time, and God was not going to show, but He was directing me there for a reason. Well, if the Lord wills, and I have time, I'm going to get to that. But it has to do with Moab and in Jeremiah 48 and verses 11 and 12. And it says, Moab has been at ease from his youth. He has settled on his dregs and has not emptied from vessel to vessel, nor has he gone into captivity. Therefore, his taste remained in him and his scent has not changed. Jeremiah 48:12. Therefore, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I shall send him wine workers who will tip him over and empty his vessels and break the bottles. And the title again is Overcoming the Familiar. God saved Israel out of Egypt to bring them into Canaan. That was the plan. That was the end game, was to get them out of bondage and bring them into rest. God's plan for our lives, likewise, is to bring us out of bondage, out of slavery, and into His rest, into communion with Him, to where we are no longer striving, working, performing, competing, comparing, but we're in a place of rest in Him. And when we operate from rest, there's no stress. And sometimes we try to make happen what only God can do, because we want to see change. Sometimes we want to see change in our loved ones so badly that we actually get in the way of what God wants to do and trying to fix them or change them or move them out of where they're at. And again, if we're operating in that place where we are working to make something happen rather than functioning out of the rest of God and God's Spirit is working through our lives, then we're not going to have any effect. As a matter of fact, we can do more damage than good when we're trying to make the will of God happen. We are to simply cooperate with the Holy Spirit in this. We are to relax, link up, yoke up with Him, and do this thing together daily, right? And not get into a place where we're like frantic. Sometimes we even get panicky in our lives. And how many have discovered that when we become panicky, we make mistakes? And how many know that the devil wants you to panic? The devil wants you to worry. The devil wants you anxious. Because when we're in that place, we're not in faith. And when we're not in faith, we can't please God. And when we're not in faith, there's no grace for what we're trying to do. So the devil wants to get us focused on the problem rather than the solution. He wants to make the problem look bigger than it really is. Why? Because he's after your faith. Because without it, you can't please God, Hebrews 11:6. You got to have faith to please God. And so he's after your faith. He's trying to magnify himself, make himself look bigger, okay, than God himself. And that was the problem with Israel, is God brought them out to bring them into the land, remember. But in the process, and that time frame between coming out of Egypt and actually entering into the land, a lot of unfortunate things happened because they began to grumble and they began to complain. Why? Because they began to doubt. When we are in doubt, we inevitably will, is that a word? Yes. Inevitably, we'll complain. We will start to grumble. We will start to bellyache about our situation when we're in doubt, when we're in unbelief. When we're in faith, We will have confidence that even though I don't understand it, even though I don't understand why this is happening, why I'm where I'm at right now in life, but when you have faith, you have a confident assurance that somehow God is going to come through. You have hope in Him. What the devil is after is not only your faith, but he's after your hope. He wants to steal your hope. So he wants to magnify the problems in our world, in our society, in America, and through the news media. He wants to make it look so bad that people become hopeless. And when people become hopeless, guess what? They quit fighting.
Yeah, that's right.
They give up. They just resolve to go along with the program. And that's exactly where the masses are heading today in the world. And it's going to end up under the spirit of Antichrist. Amen. The Antichrist will arise. And so what is God's plan for you and I? He wants to break us out of the familiar. He's going to take us into the place where it's unfamiliar. He's going to take us into territory where we've never been before. Kind of sounds like Star Trek. We've never been before. But it's like that. It's an adventure as we walk with God. He wants to take us from glory to, from faith to faith. And so if we become sedimentary, if we become complacent, you know, because naturally we want to be in a place of predictability. We want to be in a place where we can control everything around us. And we find this happy little place in our lives and we're like, everything's going my way. Don't mess with it. And we just hope that maybe we can just sit there. And he was talking. God was rebuking Moab because Moab was sitting on their lees. That is the sediment that falls from wine when wine settles. You know, the impurities, they fall to the bottom of the vessel. You know, so that vessel would have to be. Then after it settled, they would very gently pick it up and they would pour it into another vessel. And there would be a stirring up in that, amen, in that jar. And that's what happens when God begins to deal with us. Things get stirred up in our lives, amen. But once again, what happens is after the stirring up comes the settling of the impurities to the bottom, and then once again they take, if it's good wine, if it's pure wine, they take it and they pour it into yet another vessel, and then they pour it in. There will still be a stirring up, but it won't be as much as before.
Yeah.
Until that begins to settle to the bottom. Amen. Until finally you have pure wine. The good stuff. God wants us to be a vessel that is pure. Amen? That can be poured out. But he doesn't want to pour out the impurities. Amen? We've got to be purified. We've got to be ready. Amen? So we can be a vessel that God will pour through. And we're not vomiting out all the junk on people. Amen? I mean, it happens. You know, preachers get bitter. And they get into the pulpit and they browbeat and they vomit all over the congregation because they've got a personal problem. And instead of the purity of the Spirit of God, they're getting all the other garbage that comes with it. And that's why all of us, not just the preacher, but all of us need to guard our hearts very carefully. We need to be very careful not to allow offense to get into our lives that causes bitterness and that root grows up and defiles many around us. And even in ministry, we want to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit and move in the power of the Spirit, but we got to make sure, and God needs a vessel, amen, that's not going to contaminate somebody else. What God wants is a pure people. And so God knows that if we just stay where we've always been, doing what we always do, that we're just going to get stagnant. Amen. We may be really sweet wine. Amen. But that wine does no good if it's just sitting in one vessel. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever heard this term. It's called the tyranny of the familiar. I stumbled across this in my research, and I want to share it with you. It's called the tyranny of the familiar. This is a term used to describe, listen, a yoke that can crush the potential and personality of a human being. The tyranny of the familiar. Now, think about North Korea today. Some of those people that escaped North Korea came down to South Korea, and they were blown away. They had no idea what was actually going on outside of that country. All they had known is what they had been told since a child. And so they came out, and they infiltrated into the South, and they're looking around and say, this is not what they told us. You hear me, somebody? And yet, even some of those who came out of that bondage and out of that, you know, that structured tyranny, they wanted to return to that. They actually could not handle freedom, and they wanted to go back to tyranny and oppression. Why? Because of the tyranny of the familiar. In other words, we are creatures of habit. We get familiar with things. We like to be where we're at because change usually requires pain. And if there's no pain, there's no gain, right? So we like things predictable and familiar. But God knows that if we don't keep moving with Him, we're not going to be poured out, and we're not going to be purified. And so God is going to pour you and I into change, whether we like it or not. Change is necessary for growth and purity. It's getting quiet now. Everybody's starting to think, what is that going to look like now? Oh, what's next? What's coming down the pipe? How many know that God is good? And if you want to be something, you have to go through something, right? God is actually producing His character in us. He's getting us ready for eternity. Thank God for that. This tyranny of the familiar, here's another example of it. The woman who thinks that she has to marry a man that's abusive, or that she has to defend a man that's been abusive to her, because it's what she knows, it's the familiar. Or maybe the woman that grows up, or the young man for that matter, that grows up in an alcoholic family. And maybe the young woman has an alcoholic father. And so it just seems that often the case is that they gravitate towards someone who's an alcoholic. Or if the woman leaves one abusive situation, she finds herself in another. It's a tyranny of the familiar. Because often we're fearful of the unknown. We're fearful of change. We're fearful of moving from where we've been into something greater. I remember thinking when I was working one particular job that I just like doing the work. Tell me what to do. Tell me where to shovel. Tell me what to do. You know, And I kind of got used to just taking orders and doing what I was told to do. And I found a comfort level in just kind of being the worker. Okay? And yet, God wanted me to grow up and take on more responsibility. But because I was comfortable with what was familiar, I decided not to apply for any job openings, for example, in the supervisory department. Why? Because that meant more pressure, more responsibility. Yeah, more money, more benefits, come on. But I don't know if I wanted that extra responsibility. So I'm just content to do here and make my widgets every day, you know. Is somebody hear me today? And so you see this in the inner city where kids are growing up in poverty. Kids are growing up in situations that are really bad, you know. I mean, there's gun violence and rape and everything going on, you know. Gangs running amok. But that's their world. That's what they're familiar with. And yet, if they could just pick themselves up and get out of that place and be willing to take the risk to do something more with their life. Come on, somebody. But instead, many people just stay in what they're used to, even though it's not a good situation. Israel was in this place of bondage. All they'd known was slavery. So they had a slave mentality. And God brings them out of this. And initially they were joyful. They were, wow, this is wonderful. We're free, finally, of this oppression. And then God takes them into the place of the unfamiliar. And He begins to test them there. He wants to teach them to listen to His voice, to trust Him, to reveal to them that He's going to provide for them, and He did. The manna from heaven, the water from the rock. And yet, because they still had the mentality of Egypt, as soon as things got a little scary, things got a little rough, things got a little, there was a little turbulence, you know, what happened is they began to complain. And, I mean, they found themselves up against the Red Sea and they start complaining against Moses. Have you brought us out of here to kill us? It would have been better if we stayed back in Egypt. Are you hearing me? The tyranny of the familiar. They got so used to being in this place that it was hard for them to adjust or to stretch or to grow into something that was actually going to be so much superior, so much better than what they had known. God was going to take them into a place that was way beyond anything they'd ever known in their lives. That was the Father's heart for His people. But He knew that there was some things that they're going to have to deal with along the way, and He had to condition His people so that they could go in and take the land because there were giants in the land. Do you understand? It was God's sovereign intervention. Amen? That saved Israel out of bondage by the blood of the Lamb. That was the grace of God. But when it came to entering in to the promise, God did not destroy the giants. God told, hear me, He told them to destroy the giants. Do you understand? God will forgive you. God will break the yoke. God will set you free from the oppression, amen, and the bondage of sin. But it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility to deal with the sin in my life. It just doesn't automatically go away. There are giants that we're going to confront, that we have to face, and that we have to deal with. God's telling you and I that it's your responsibility to stop your sinning. It's your responsibility to deal with that addiction. Amen? It's your responsibility to stop living in adultery or whatever the sin might be. We've got to be obedient to God, and we've got to deal with the giants. He's not going to just have everything happen for us. He gives us the authority in His name to conquer. Is it making sense? Israel got comfortable, even in the wilderness. Things began to get familiar with them there. So they said, well, why don't we just camp out here for a while? Moses has gone up on the mountain. Why don't we just put our gold together and we'll create a god of our own choosing? And we'll bow down and worship this God. We'll just call it good. You see, the reason why God never allowed Israel to settle is because He was taking them somewhere. And He knew that if they had settled in complacency, that they would miss the promise. Do you understand that God gives you and I an opportunity to serve Him, to walk with Him daily, to navigate by His Spirit? When the Spirit is moving, amen, we're supposed to be moving. If the Spirit is settling, we're supposed to be settling. If the Lord is speaking, we should be speaking. If He's not, we shouldn't be, amen? If He's doing a miracle, we should be joining Him in that. But if He's not, don't, amen? We're supposed to be led by the Spirit because God is taking you somewhere. God wants to take you higher. God wants to take you beyond where you've ever been, but it requires faith, confident assurance that God will be with me in the new season, in the new place that He's taking me. I don't have to fear the unknown because God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will what? Fear no evil, for Thou art with me. I just need to embrace it together because I'm yoked up with Jesus and I know He's never going to leave me. He's never going to forsake me. His word is true. His promises are true. God wants to take me into this place called rest. And if I don't deal with the giants in my life, I'll never have rest. If you don't deal with the sin in your life, you won't have rest. You won't come into peace. He's got a peace for us. He's got a rest for us. He's got a place where we're no longer striving. We cease from that work. Well, are you suggesting that you can be perfected? I'm suggesting that every giant in your life can be tackled. Amen. And can be dealt with. Because that's exactly what Israel was going to face when they entered into the land. And they never knew it until they got there. Well, nobody told us about this. Jesus, we're with you. Let's do this thing together. All right, life is good. Oh, wait a minute. I don't know about that. You're telling me to go where? Talk to who? Do we believe? We say, yeah, we believe. Well, your faith will be evidenced by the fruit of your life. If you're really a believer, then you will obey. I remember living in New York. This is Western New York, the state. And we lived in this town called Hume. And we pastored in a town called Fillmore, which is next to Houghton. There's a college. Maybe some of you know where that's at. But it was interesting because we had neighbors. It was like a little town, and we had neighbors that had been in that little town all their life. They never went anywhere. And I'm not even sure if they weren't all inbred or something. No, I mean, it was like they were just kind of, but they were in the familiar and the predictable. And they probably had huge potential, but it was untapped. Because of fear of the unknown. Because of an unwillingness to step out of what's familiar into what's unfamiliar. You see, that tyranny of familiarity will rob a person of their potential. Because fear is a paralyzer. Fear will keep us from doing what God's calling us to do. Faith is the opposite of fear. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My confidence is in Him and not in self. When I am putting my confidence in myself, then I get into fear. Because in myself, I see that I don't have what it takes to do what I'm called to do. And neither do you, right? So God stirs us up. Sometimes we're just like that wine that's settled in that vessel. We don't want to be troubled. We just want to sit where we're at and soak. You're sit, soak, and sour, right? But God says, now it's time for me to do another work in your life. So He takes that vessel and He pours it out. And with that comes all the stirring up and all the impurities in our lives, and we're just like, oh my goodness, I thought I was doing so good when I was just sitting here in Happyville. And now my life is a shambles, it seems like. Everything is like, what has ever been there? What is happening to me? Well, God's pouring you out because He's going to purify you. He's going to show you a few things about yourself that you weren't aware of. Come on, somebody. Oh, you love those moments. It's all good. It's grace. It's God saying, I'm getting you ready for what's coming. I'm going to have a pure bride. I'm going to have a pure church. Amen. A pure people. So You're going to have to be poured out a few times, amen? And we're going to have to let that stuff settle, and then we're going to pour it off, amen? Let it settle, pour it off, and eventually you're going to be pure wine that can be poured out, amen? And that's good, because what does wine do? It rejoices the heart. Luke chapter 5, verse 37, Jesus said, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved." And then he said in verse 39, "And no one having drunk old wine," what? "Immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better." Give me that old time religion. I like that old time religion. Well, they just don't sing songs like they used to. You know what? I love some of those old songs. You know? Some of them are really anointed. But you just can't camp out in what was. Why? Because God is doing a new thing. God is wanting you to move. God is wanting you to be, you know, poured out, if you will. Right? And he takes you into different places and different assignments and different things that you deal with in your life. It's not always a geographical move or relocation. Amen? It can be just simply God's going to dry up the job you're on right now and he's going to move you to something else. But if you stay where you're at, you're going to think, hey, everything's cool. I get my check. I know it's predictable. I know how much I'm going to get. And then God dries that up and you say, oh, everything is going like this. All the impurities are coming out too. Oh, God, what are you doing? Right? Come on, somebody. And then all of a sudden you find yourself, after things settle a little bit, you find yourself in a better situation. You say, oh, wow, this is even better. But man, I had to go through something to get to where I'm at. So do you. So do we. We need to know that God is at work in our lives. And even when things are stirred up and things don't seem to make sense, he's getting us ready for eternity. And you know, the old religious crowd said, oh no, we've been doing it this way for so many years now. You know, we're just not going to change. A lot of denominations have come and gone. A lot of your denominations, your mainline denominations, actually started in the fire. They were moves of God. They were the Holy Ghost people of the day, even the Methodists. But what happened is we kind of got familiar. And when we got familiar, we got complacent and said, I kind of like just doing this little thing we've been doing, singing the same old songs. The anointing's gone, but we're still singing the same old songs, doing the same old thing. God's not in it, but we're still doing the same old thing. In other words, we're just playing church now. We're just practicing religion. And there's no life. There's no substance in it. So God's saying, you can't put that new wine, amen, into an old vessel. What I have for you is going to require change in you. Yeah. So embrace it. Thank God for it, because the things that are happening in your life right now are part of God's plan. Even the hard times, the difficult times, are part of God's plan to develop His steadfast character in you. He's going to bring you into a place where you are settled, but you are settled in purity. Are you hearing me? There's no longer any dregs. There's no longer any of that stuff floating around, amen, in the wine. God has settled you in a good place where you are now a sweet wine. Hallelujah. Of His presence. People will encounter God when they're around you, because God has purified you and made you a vessel that can contain what He has. So you can't put that new wine into an old wineskin. Amen? So be willing to change. Be willing to go with God. In Exodus 14:12, the Israelites were complaining because now they found themselves in this place that was unfamiliar. And they said, Is this not the word that he told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. How many times have we seen somebody come to faith in the Lord? God touches their heart. They spring to life. They're all excited. Every time the church doors are open, they're there. They're down at the altar. And come on, somebody. And then you see them a year later, and where are you? You're not even in church. They're back in Egypt doing the old things, hitting the same bars, the same clubs, the same people, the same situation. Why? Because they thought that the old was better. You don't immediately desire the new. And sometimes you don't even know what you're missing. Because sometimes we're so used to what's familiar that we're not willing to take the risk to step out of what was into what is now happening. You understand, sometimes God's challenging us to do something that is beyond anything that we would feel comfortable doing naturally. So when we step out by faith and do what we sense God leading us to do, He's going to meet us in the place He told us to be. Yeah. Whenever that cloud moved in the wilderness, Israel had to move, or they would get lost. God moved, I didn't move, now where are you, God? How did I end up in this place? I'm dazed and confused. So long it's not true. Yeah. That's what it's like apart from God, though. You're dazed and you're confused. And so long you've been in that place of confusion that you just think it's normal. It's normal to be confused. It's normal for life to be stinky. God says, I don't want you to settle on your dregs. I don't want you to stay in the place where you've always been. Israel, I'm taking you somewhere. I took you out of bondage to bring you into some place. Amen. And when you enter into that land, I want you to displace the giants. I want you to drive out the inhabitants of that land. Why? Because if you don't, they're going to be a thorn in your flesh. They're going to prick at you. They're going to eat at you. They're going to annoy you. They're going to rob you of your peace, just like sin in our lives. Until we get that thing dealt with and we repent and we turn away from that, amen, and we give it to God, that thing's going to gnaw at you. It's going to poke you. It's going to annoy you. And God wants to bring you into a place where it is well with your soul. Lord, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you for your patience with all of us, Lord. And I thank you for the ways that you work in our lives, Lord. Even though there are many times we don't understand, God, we know that you are with us. We know that you're for us and that you're stretching us. You're growing us up in you. You want to do a work in our hearts and our lives, God. And you want to make us a pure vessel. You want to make us a vessel of honor that is in position for you to use, God. And we want to be those vessels, Lord. We want to be those people that you can trust. And know, Lord, that you have a friend in us, too, that we are reliable, that we're trustworthy. We're someone who will do your will when you tell us to. We want to be found faithful. We want to be found steady, Lord, until the end. Because when we see you in that day, we want to hear you say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Are you willing to embrace the change that God wants to do? Embrace the wilderness. Embrace what you're finding yourself in right now. And know that God is working something eternal in the temporal. He's getting you ready. Hallelujah. He's developing in you a steadfast character. So you'll be unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. If we are easily shaken, then we cannot be the servant of the Lord. So God wants to stabilize your life. But in order to do that, you have to be poured out. You have to be brought into change. You have to overcome those giants. Amen. So embrace it and know that God has already given you the authority in His name to defeat every giant that stands in your way. And you do that in His name. So hallelujah. Praise your name, Lord Jesus.